go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Vaughn Eaglin in studio and Kib Watson. She's back from vacay. We all are back from vacay now. Everything's Yay. Getting back yep. in the groove, and we've all, you know, drank our beer on St. Patty's Day. And
oh, yeah.
No.
Well, actually,
no.
I didn't
no.
drink beer. I drank Jameson. But
oh, wow.
but
go.
I did do some Irish dancing.
No beer, no wine.
No wine,
no
I'm
green.
Sorry. Ah, did you say
the
no
green?
Wine?
Green?
No, I you, didn't have anything.
Okay. Green meaning marijuana.
I didn't. Well,
oh,
no.
Yeah,
I didn't even wear any. Green,
oh, okay.
is what
yeah.
I meant.
You
like,
meant wear green.
But
okay.
yeah, no, I didn't do that either.
Okay.
Actually,
I'm just asking.
I actually bought a pair of green shoes last week.
You did?
I'll have to bring them in and show
you.
What
color green?
Like almost like. Like your classic Irish green, like emerald green, and they're even sparkly. Like they're so cool.
Draw
they're so
to
so
the
cool.
Eye.
I'm picturing like elf shoes.
No, they're not.
I was thinking Wizard of Oz.
They're super
cool.
That's exactly what I thought. Wizard of Oz.
Because I am such a green person, you know, green, just you know, natural.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, right.
Bio green.
I'm
yeah, okay.
bio. I'm just a green girl, right. And so I thought these would be so cool with just like some little jean shorts. And like a cool top, like nothing. I mean, just I dress kind of weird, though. I always have. I have my own style.
You do?
Nothing wrong with
I do
that.
Have,
yeah.
I do have my own style.
Yeah.
I'm a little edgy, but I'm girly. So I'm like girly, edgy, kind of Lower East Side, kind of. I don't know.
Yeah, you're like in the mix of this girly, tomboyish kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so when I was a kid, I would wear like my best dress to ride my bike in. And come home with like okay. grease on my knees and make my mother insane in my best Easter dress.
Okay.
You know, and so
I've walked around in a dress and combat boots.
Yeah.
I mean, they go together.
A dress
along
and
with
combat
jean
boots.
Like a jean jacket, a bohemian flowy
yeah.
dress,
oh, wow.
and
yeah.
combat boots.
I would have talked about you in high school. Just I was like, look at the nerd. Look at him. What's wrong with
that? Look at that nerd.
Yeah,
no,
or something
it's creative
emo kind
type.
Of,
it's the creative type.
I didn't
type.
Appreciate that kind of stuff because I was all about
yes.
being popular in high school. So
were you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Well, in Catholic school, where I went, you had to wear a uniform. So everybody was dressed the same.
You know, I attended Catholic school like the first part of my life. And so I did wear the uniform. So,
yeah.
yeah
so
I,
your
I
purse was important. Was
I
your purse important?
Well, you know, you said purse.
yes.
How you put your shirt in, and maybe you can fudge a little bit on the shoes, but, you know, that was pretty much about it. So.
Well, you know, and it's funny. Purses are so, they're so amazing, and that you can find so many cool ones. Like the one I'm carrying right now, I got it at, that's the one that Dean peed in, by the way.
Oh.
He's
Ew.
Peed in that one and the other one. Oh. I put it right in the washer. It's leather, and it's got this beautiful embroidery. What's it called on Greenville Avenue?
Dean is the dog.
Buffalo Exchange.
Buffalo Exchange. That is
and they
cool
have
place.
Cool stuff in there. I
they
paid $29
do.
For it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not
stuff.
Worried about it. I can beat
yeah.
the hell out of it and not worry about it,
yeah.
you know? And
if
you carry a really
awesome.
Expensive purse, it's just, I don't know. It makes you
so
nervous.
So that's where I went in Orange County. I went to the Orange County Buffalo Exchange.
I bet
and
that was
yes.
nice.
I've been there. It's awesome.
Some good stuff.
No. I came
Free
home with...
Free people stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Like a fraction of the cost,
yeah,
people.
No.
Free people.
No, when I was in L.A. last, we went there, and we brought home bags of stuff. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, fashion is so... New York...
you like the shop.
New York, Los Angeles, and Dallas. If you're a fashionista,
okay.
those are the best three shopping
Those are the
place.
Hubs.
Those are the hubs,
what?
Where you find, like, the coolest stuff.
But
Let
I will
know.
Say, thrift shopping in Dallas, Texas was better than Orange County.
Hmm. Oh, I believe it.
Was.
No, women in this town love fashion.
Orange
they
County
really, really
was
do.
Not so good at like the Goodwill and the Salve boutique.
Yeah.
Wasn't
yeah.
as good.
Salve
Danny
boutique.
And I, we just nod our head like, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Women in this town take it up a notch.
You're right.
They do.
I agree with you.
They do. So I don't know for whatever reason, but they do. And,
what notch is that?
I think because, well, there's a heck of a lot more disposable income here. Right, there's
yeah.
definitely more restaurants per capita, and
well,
I think
and the
there's
weather's
more
so
shopping
good.
Per capita.
The weather's so good. I mean, you want to exercise.
But you know,
and...
every city can say that. Miami
no, they
can say that. Indianapolis can say that about food.
Indianapolis cannot say
we're,
that.
We're on an Indianapolis kip, so watch what you
well,
say.
No, but they can't say they have more restaurants
5 days a week, okay?
and shopping than Dallas, Texas.
We do have a lot of foodies here in
they
Dallas.
Do
so I agree
yeah,
with you. Like,
they
I
do have
hello.
I lived right down the road.
I'm the mother foodie here. You know, are you kidding me? No, this is the Aberdeen Proving Grounds. Absolutely. It used to be Columbus, Ohio for starting restaurant concepts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Indianapolis
true.
Has some, Wingstop and
true.
Pizza Patron. Hello.
There you go,
Patron.
Indianapolis has
a lot
some
of great.
Great steakhouses.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
St. Elmo's.
I've only been
my
to
favorite.
Indianapolis one time, and it was for the Indianapolis 500.
Really?
That's on my bucket list.
I can see you being
Oh,
there.
I've been
my
to
God.
Two.
It's my bucket list.
I've been to two.
Have you?
I was
I love
1985,
Indianapolis.
The spin to win.
The spin to win, Danny Sullivan. 360-degree spin, and he won.
Wow. Yep.
It was the greatest phenomenal spectacle in sports ever.
And
what?
The spin,
it was awesome.
And the spin was right in front of me because I was on turn four.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I'm so jealous.
Okay.
I was
slow
at the spin
down,
to
everyone.
Win, and then in 87, I went to, it was,
Ray Hall. Was Ray Hall? No.
Hey, guys, I don't
Bobby
know what
Unser's
you're talking
last,
about.
Last
what are you talking about?
Give us
about?
A little context right here.
So, yeah, we're talking
500.
One person at a time. This is very bad on the airways. I'll just remind you of that, okay?
Oh, gee, thank you for reminding me, since that's all you do is talk.
But I missed everything that you said, Danny. So,
Danny,
talking NASCAR.
No,
not NASCAR.
It is not NASCAR.
Like that
Indy
Police Academy.
Is different than NASCAR,
it's open wheel.
Which
it's
is
open
different
wheel
than
racing.
Formula One.
And
I know.
The spin to win was the great Danny Sullivan.
Danny Sullivan. I remember him.
So this guy did a 360 and then won the race.
Yeah, yes. He spun going into the turn and did not hit the wall, did not hit anything.
I think I kind of remember that.
Nobody nudged him. Yeah. He just lost it, did a 360,
gained
and just
it,
went on and gained
and then,
it.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's amazing. Nobody hit him or he didn't hit anybody else.
Those guys, they're the fastest cars out there.
I can see him getting out of his car in his leather suit.
Well, you know what's interesting?
She winked in studio.
And then they drank the milk.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting about that, you know, far as the G-forces those guys pull, here at Texas Motor Speedway when they first started racing here, they had to turn it down a notch because they were getting vertigo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I interned
at Texas Motor Speedway.
Yeah,
sure did.
Yep.
I got to work an IndyCar race.
like how you
did you drive in one?
It.
Did you get a ride?
No.
Did you get a spin?
No. Not an option.
Not an option.
Yeah, that's where I got her from. I offered her a radio job instead of working there, and I stole her away.
From Texas Motor Speedway.
From
good old TMS.
Yep, the TMS.
Can't believe that.
Well, you know, I was reading, as I often do, but I thought this was really good information for our listeners about, and it's actually, I get these free magazines in the mail all the time, okay, and it's from Martha Stewart Living, but, you know, it's got some really good information in here, and
okay.
I know, you're thinking, okay.
You're good. She has a show with Snoop Dogg now, so I mean.
Oh, I know it. Is that she and Snoop Dogg are friends?
Yeah,
I love it.
Weirdest thing.
I love it too.
I'm like, okay, what you got for me?
You think she's spoken green with him
for sure?
You
know, for sure.
I know he's offered. I know he's offered. Yeah. So he doesn't hang out with people that don't smoke.
Well, no wonder her magazine's gotten better.
There you go. That makes sense. Makes totally sense. And it's some strong green, too, I can guarantee.
Well, it's talking about, and thank you for bringing that up, because I did read that, but I forgot about it. It says a new way to eat, and it says a hint. It's a lot like the old way to eat, but bolstered by decades of research. We're talking about going back to a time before meals were broken into carbs and calories, when food was a source of energy and sustenance and pleasure that kept your body going strong for a lifetime. And it's got these 12 principles. Put the focus back on whole, seasonal foods and put happiness and to every bite, and makes me think of, I was having a conversation with someone last week, and I said to them, I remember a time when you only got strawberries in the summer, because I remember my mother making strawberry shortcake for my brother Mike because it was his favorite dessert, but you didn't have strawberries all the time.
You're wrong.
So
that's
now
true.
You have strawberries all the time, but they're
seasonal.
Toxic. They're poisonous. They soak in pesticides, and you should never be eating strawberries unless they're organic. Absolutely, and that you got to protect your children too, because you go into all these restaurants and that's one of the things that are on their menu. But I'm going to tell you, if they're not organic, do not give it to your child. I'm serious. I'm being very serious here. What's the number one most toxic thing out there as far as fruits and vegetables that you could possibly eat if it's not organic? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. Had
okay,
no idea.
So now you know that.
I'm thinking of that chocolate cake that's covered in like chocolate
with
a strawberry on top.
It's okay.
That's what went through my mind. I'm like, I'm going to have to miss out on that because of what
well,
burned
no,
it
no,
out.
Well, no.
You can buy them frozen,
well,
too.
Listen to
organic
what it,
frozen.
Well, listen to some of the great, we've got just a couple minutes. This is some great stuff here, though. I'm not kidding you. It talks about expanding your food horizons, and there's some really good stuff in here about Oh, man, I don't want to go to break. Well, we're going to have to talk about this a little bit because this is, it really is. Maybe next week because there's so much good stuff in here. Danny, it says you can have your carbohydrates. For example, I'll just give you one example. So here's a reason to rejoice. It turns out that eliminating carbs from your diet is actually a crime against nature. And that last year, researchers from the University of Oregon found a seventh taste bud on the tip of the tongue that's a receptor for starch.
And it just depends on what kind of carbs.
Right.
You don't want the processed, simple carbs.
I am going to cover this throughout the week, the rest of the week, because this is really, really good,
good stuff.
And yes, you can have your dessert. In fact, she encourages it, this researcher and chef, twice a week.
I'm okay with that.
All right. Because if you don't, you'll want it more. You understand?
I understand.
Well, you're the shrink, so you should know, right?
Yeah, I should. Technically.
All right, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Stay tuned. It doesn't matter much to me. Let me take you down. We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta-Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta-Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Vaughn Eaglin in studio and Kip Watson. These guys are both shrinks. I love working with them when they're in here together. It's so much fun. As you can tell from the prior segment, we were off the chart a little bit there, having a little too much fun. It's always fun to have you guys in studio. So Vaughn Eaglin is a licensed professional counselor and supervisor and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. And Kip Watson is a licensed professional counselor and sports psychology professional. She's a certified high performance coach with two master's degrees and nearly 20 years of experience with athletes, coaches, families, and corporate teams. And she's a former professional athlete and mom of two teenagers. And today we are talking about the pros and cons of being alone. Well. I've done both, and so I like talking about this though, because I think it's good to spend time alone. I really, really do.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't go on too long, you know, where you start becoming reclusive, I think that's very unhealthy.
All right. You just did the show. We're done.
We're done. No. Walk out the studio.
I mean, that's just it. It is about finding balance, but then understanding where time spent alone, where does it stop being productive? And then where does it start being more negative or actually really harmful to you?
Well, you know, the first thing I think of course, relationship being alone, is sex. And I'm just going to say it, you know?
Mine always goes there first.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, isn't that one of the first things? And it's not just the sex. It's the interaction. It's the connection. Yeah, it's the human touch.
Well, what are you saying? That too much time alone, that's not good because you don't get that?
Well, I think if you spend too much time alone, I mean, let's say you go through a breakup, okay? And I think it's important to take time after a breakup to figure out what went wrong, correct it, don't just blame it all on the other person, you know, find out what you did wrong in that piece of, in that failure.
Right.
You know.
If you've had a long-term relationship, this is my rule, although most people don't abide by the rule.
Okay.
But if you've had a relationship that's last 2 years or longer, you need a year to be...
I would agree.
Alone and figure it out.
I completely agree. And I've actually done that. I came real close. 11 months.
11 months.
11 months. And then I think it was maybe 9 or 10 months.
Well, you're close.
But that, you know, it's close enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, let's talk. So let's talk about why spending time alone is good.
Oh, yeah. It's
then
wonderful.
Then I'll talk about why it may be bad. And then how do we tell them?
Okay.
You know,
like you said, we need balance. But there are people out there who isolate too much from those and never take time out from people and activity. Isn't it really about balance at the end of the day?
Our brains need balance. So, constantly being on is going to hurt our brain. But then spending too much time alone also triggers some negative stuff. So, it is a balance.
Well, when you say, let's talk. We're talking about coming out of a relationship specifically or just in general or
in
both?
In general. It really has nothing to do with a relationship or being in a relationship.
Okay, well, so let's talk about what are some of the reasons alone time is so good for you?
Well, being alone increases your productivity. And when I say being alone, it's like shut off all digital media, get away from your phone, your computer, unless that's where you're doing your work, right? But you need to be removed from any kind of distraction, right?
Well, then what's left? No TV. What, do we go back to radio days? Hey, let's.
You know what? But you can. A lot of people now are what I find is a lot of my executives are working from home when I do high performance coaching, and what we're getting them in a productive state to where actually they can end their work day at like 1:30, 2:30 in the afternoon, and they've been way more productive in getting things done than being constantly pinged by text messages and interruptions and emails all day long.
The only thing that I do is, I like my quiet time. I do. But I also, when I want to be super productive, I put on music and I just can get so much done. And that's when I tend to do a lot of my writing and just reading or dancing or whatever. But it puts me in a very relaxed and productive state of mind.
Well, you know,
well,
I didn't mean to be
different than being interrupted by email, text message, or a phone call.
That's what I wanted to know. Yeah,
I didn't mean to be a smartass, but I can see what you're saying now. When the summer comes around, I get on that boat and I just drop anchor and I just do nothing but just, you know, watch the sunset or just veg.
Right.
That's pretty much what you're talking about, right? Or go to the pool or go to the beach and just sit there and read a book.
Well, in the sense of productivity, I'm talking about like if you need to really be productive and work a project through, work a report through, work on doing some, some interaction, following up on emails, phone calls, whatever.
Okay.
You cannot be distracted by other exterior stuff.
That's
right. But also with what you guys were talking about, turning on music, I think the other benefit of time alone is it makes you more creative.
And self-reflection.
And that's important.
Absolutely.
Right? You have some of your best ideas where you turn on that music and it's just you and your thoughts.
Oh. Well, Bernadette, don't you, like in the summer, Don't you go in your backyard and just sit there like at your pool and just do nothing?
Oh, all the time. But, I mean, that's how I got into the sensory deprivation business. It's critical to the human mind to shut it down so that it can reset. I mean, it's so important. I feel like we're talking about two different types of being alone here. We're talking about shutting down your brain, and then we're also talking about being alone and after a relationship and having time to reflect. But so how can spending time alone actually help improve our relationships?
Well, I think they're tied together. They are tied together. So yes, I need time alone to be productive, to be creative, to do that self-reflective work.
Right.
That you need to do.
And a lot of people don't want to do it, Kip, right? Because it's so painful. So they tend to run from it.
They do. Especially after a breakup, it can be painful. Right. But in this context also, too, it's time that you spend strengthening your relationship. Because each of you actually, and everybody out there, needs to find a partner or a spouse that's able to maintain a certain level of independence. You do not have to do everything together.
I agree.
Agreed.
All right? Yep. You don't.
Well, you said that with conviction.
I did. Well, here's the thing. I used to want a woman that would do everything with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started dating my wife, go ahead.
Once you got it, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
You just might get it, right?
Exactly. Because when you have somebody that has different interests than you, then you guys have something to talk about when you get back together. And it expands your horizons in so many more ways. So,
well, and then that person really wants to be with you.
Right.
You know?
Because you don't end up taking the person for granted because you're around them all the time.
Right. Yeah. You can't force anything. And it actually makes that other person more attractive.
Yeah. What's that saying? Like, if two people are the same, then one of you isn't necessary, then kind of deal? So
I've never heard that, but I like it.
Yeah.
That's true.
There you go.
It's very true.
Okay. So what's the biggest danger to spending too much time alone?
Well, the actual biggest danger is that studies have found that it increases your likelihood of mortality by 30% if you spend too much time in social isolation.
Wow.
Okay, that's a huge statistic.
That is huge.
Right? Yeah, everybody needs to be around people and activity and be engaged in some healthy relationships that are not sucking the lifeblood out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the biggest danger is it increases your mortality. And again, I'm talking about too much social isolation where you're really not getting any of it.
Mm-hmm. I pulled this book. I love Daniel Goleman. I always want to say with a D, Goldman, mm-hmm. but it's Goleman, G-O-L-E, Daniel Goleman, who wrote the book about...
So you wrote Emotional Intelligence and Social Intelligence.
I've got Social Intelligence in front of me. It talks about exciting new science confirms that our deepest intuitions, good relationships nourish and support us, like you said, Kip, and our health, while toxic relationships can poison us, and our success and happiness on the job and our marriages and families and even our ability to live in peace depend crucially on the emotional radar and specific skills defined in this groundbreaking book. But it is so critical, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. So some of the other dangers to watch for in being alone are an increase in depression. And it's not so much when you're alone, we have normal feelings of being alone. But when loneliness really starts to take over and then the negative critic that we all have the negative critic, automatic mm-hmm. negative thoughts. And it tends to when we're alone, they start shouting at us louder.
Mm-hmm.
All that negativity is, yes, there can be an increase in depression, an increase in more debilitating loneliness and negativity, which is part of why it then leads to this outrageous statistic that we have, that it's actually taking years off of your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, being alone, like never getting back into relationship, is that healthy for you?
I say no. So because relationships help us. Well, I hear the sound coming up.
But, you know what? We'll talk about it after the break.
Yeah, let's go.
Because we're going to be talking with you about money and marriage. That's going to be a good one.
Should be good.
All right, and Kip, we'll continue talking about
this. It's just about having your brain at rest, but it also needs to be activated.
Yeah.
And knowing the balance.
Yeah. Danny, you're killing me. I love this song. Look at him in there. I'm so happy, too. I love this song. You're listening to One Life Radio.
In an effort to make clear to what it's like when you're shattered, left standing in the lurch at a church where people
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Looking for the best organic protein bar on the market? Sun Warrior has nailed it. So Good protein bars are amazing and so easy to throw in your purse or backpack. They have 17 grams of protein, low sugar, and they are 100% organic. Try Sun Warrior's new Soul Good bars at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com, because eating clean doesn't have to be difficult.
Let me tell you a secret. Men get Botox to look younger too. Why? Because it works. But it works best when done correctly from an expert injector by a board-certified dermatologist like Dr. Lynn Roberts. Call Dr. Lynn Roberts today at 469-232-9300. That's 469-232-9300, or visit her at LynnRobertsMD.com.
Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Kip Watson in studio with me and Von Eaglin. They are both licensed professional counselors, and Kip specializes in sports psychology, and Von Eaglin is a doctoral candidate as well at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department, and his PhD research focuses on couple relationships, men and groups, and you also deal with anger management and a lot of men's issues,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and abuse,
yeah,
and addiction, yeah, and just to name a few. And you can find all of our experts at onelifradio.com, and we're blogging. I blogged about the movie The Beauty and the Beast. Have you seen it yet?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Everybody's okay. Talking about
I want to go
movie.
See The Shack. Oh. I've heard people talking about that.
My mom read the book. Did you read the book?
No.
What is it, The Shack?
She tried to get me to read it, and my dog chewed
because
it up. But
that's my whole thing about watch the movie first, then read the book.
Oh, really?
Oh,
that
really?
It doesn't ruin the movie, because the book is always better.
Oh, okay.
If you watch the movie first, you enjoy a good movie.
Oh,
then
okay.
Read the book, because the book's always better.
Oh, and I've always heard the opposite. Don't go see the movie till you read the book.
No, but
me
it
too.
Ruins the movie because it's never as good.
Isn't that interesting?
And they always
different
leave stuff
perspectives.
Out.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Well.
Anyways.
Well. Okay.
That's my little Kip Fit tip for the day.
You have
Kip
to read my blog, because I loved the movie, absolutely loved it. There was so much goodness in that movie for little boys and for little girls.
A lot of women I've talked to said they loved the movie.
It was
so
great.
Well, it's a good movie for boys, though.
I agree. I probably won't see it, though.
Yes,
know?
You will.
Okay.
Yes,
I
thought you meant you won't see it when you watch it.
No,
but you won't. You won't go to it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because I'm a guy.
Let me tell you something.
There was a bunch of guys watching.
Woman influences
if your
me to go,
wife
I'll
wants
go.
To go.
Yeah, I'm not going to
yeah,
go see
I think
it on my
you,
own.
I think okay. You and I going in there alone, their creep factor might be a little bit.
No, a lot of guys
who's
are going, though.
I'd take your man card away if the two of you went to go see
who's
it.
Who's the guy looking at me in the corner?
Yeah, I heard right.
No, I
a
saw,
lot of men are going.
When I went, there was like two guys going by themselves and then another group of guys. It was very
strange.
Not
that there's anything
age.
Wrong with
that.
They weren't gay. I don't know.
No, they look totally straight. But you never know.
It does like bring up childhood memories of fondness for a lot of different people. And so that's what I'm getting, is that it's actually better than the animated movie.
Oh my gosh, it's wonderful.
So
you read the blog. Go to onelifradio.com.
I actually do like Beauty and the Beast. I'm just kind of being a little mannish.
Okay.
So,
that's what. Well, you'll love this version of it, because there were some fine role models for little boys.
Were there car chases? Were there blood? Were there explosions?
No, but there was exciting horse chase, horses racing through the woods, and
that's cool.
Wolves, coming after. Just it was fabulous.
And I know, the beast at some point he attacks somebody. You know what I mean? So that was an animated movie. So there has to be some fight at the end of it. So
yeah, he gets into a fight with Gaston at the end.
There you go.
And I'm happy to say that I can't ruin it if you've never seen it
okay.
or read the book.
Everybody knows.
Well, you don't know. Well, maybe not.
It's a fairy tale. It always ends good.
I don't know. Not in the original ones, like the Grimm brothers, whatever. Grimm brothers of the Grimm.
Yeah.
The Brothers of the Grimm. How do you say it? The Grimm.
The Brothers Grimm.
The Brothers Grimm. There you go. Okay.
Reaper?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I love what we're talking about today, you guys. I really, really do. We're talking about the pros and cons. We're finishing up the pros and cons of being alone. Right before the break, I asked Kip and Vaughn, you know, what if you decide you never want to be in a relationship again? Is that healthy for you?
No.
Okay.
Plain and simple, no. Right?
Okay. And you guys, let's hear it, both of your opinions.
Well, the relationships are what make us, and I won't say they define us, but you have to have relationships. Well, because Kip made a point earlier that social isolation is one of the worst things, because whenever people go to the penitentiary, one of the worst things they can do is go to the hole, because social isolation, it really is extremely harmful to the psyche, is really traumatic. And to decide not to have relationships again is really cutting off a part of yourself, because we learn everything in the context of relationships.
I would die in the hole.
Yeah.
There's a lot of there are more men than I see in women, but I certainly see this in both, is you know, once they've been hurt or really hurt in a relationship, they I'm never going to get in a relationship again. Like, I don't need anybody.
That's my dad.
I can take care of myself. Mm-hmm. I'm independent. What do I need people who are? It just makes more hurt.
Right.
Well, what about age?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. My mom is totally happy. Now, this might be a little bit of an extreme, but, you know, she lost her husband, my father, when she was in her late 70s. She's 83 now, or going to be 83 this year. She has no intention to.
Well, that's understandable after a long, beautiful marriage. Okay.
People are in their 60s that lose a loved one and don't ever date again.
Okay, well, I'm not talking about that you got to date again, but in the context of what I'm saying, yes.
Yeah.
But it's like most people, well, introverts will do better with that than extroverts, but when you start blocking yourself off from any kind of intimacy, whether it's friendships, social circles, you know, church groups, guild groups, whatever it is, just going to play bridge with people, for heaven's sakes. My mom's in her late 70s. They still go do that.
Really?
Right? I mean, that's part of their social circle. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling, right, that's what more elderly people need, to stay connected to people. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm going to go find another mate.
Right.
But I need to have social connection. I need to stimulate my brain with people and activity.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily finding another life partner.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you think about people that commit their life, you know, to Jesus and become a priest or a nun.
Right.
Those nuns are pretty mean, though. I don't think they're very happy. I'm just saying from experience. Okay. They seem a little frustrated.
They do.
So what's your spin on this, Yvonne?
Well, you know, I agree with Kip wholeheartedly that you have to have relationships. And I think what you're getting at is that when people have an intent to consciously make a choice to socially isolate themselves, then that can be really unhealthy. At least that's what I'm getting from what you're saying, Kip. So.
Well, I mean, I know you deal with this a lot in your practice, too. But those people usually have a lot of insecurity and a lot of pain, and they're trying to protect themselves from more.
Yeah.
But what happens is they actually cut themselves off from something that could be really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Right.
I think social interaction is like necessary as water.
Yeah, it's the key to happiness. And whenever you look at a documentary called Happy on Netflix, it says that, you know, whenever we interact with others, that's what actually brings us happiness.
You know, I don't want to drag Lexi's dad back into this, but you said you pretty much said him. You know, that's just like my dad. No, what? Because he's what, our age, my age?
He's 52.
Okay.
Mm. I think. But my parents have been separated for almost 8 years. Mm. And, I mean, he goes on dates, but he's like, I'm never marrying again. Mm. Never.
Oh, was it because of money or?
There's a lot of issues. Love my parents, but they're not meant to be together.
But you don't think it's never say never?
That's what I was just going to say,
Danny. When
he
says that,
I don't see myself, my dad, marrying again. No, I don't. I really see him being alone.
Okay.
So this is a great quote that I love from Andy Stanley, and I think this really kind of wraps it up, and I think, you know, brings this to a very important point. At the end of the day, your happiness is tied to a who, not a what. no matter what you own, what you drive, or where you live, at the end of your life, you will have relational regrets, not possessional regrets.
I love that. You put that on Facebook.
Nobody makes things right with a what. Happiness is relational in nature. The great Andy Stanley. Yep. Love him.
Excellent.
Yeah. Didn't you put that out on Facebook?
I did.
I love that. Absolutely love it. And it is so true.
It is.
You can't take those things to the grave with you, you know? Your legacy is about your relationships and the love that you leave behind. Great.
So all the more reason we got to talk about money and marriage,
Money and marriage. So,
you can't take the money with you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. You can't take it with you, but you can take the love. You're listening to One Love. Life Radio.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Are you tired of ho-hum parties? Do people yawn in your backyard? Need to draw attention to your business or set the mood at your restaurant? Lights aren't just for Christmas. They make all your outdoor spaces and celebrations sparkle. Our customers have found the perfect lights to add twinkle to their special occasions for over 10 years. See everything you'll need to light up your life at Christmas Light Source. You can find us at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead.
Oh my gosh, Danny, what a great song to pick. This is so funny. Oh, God bless all the gold diggers out there.
That's awesome. This is awesome.
Oh, my. All right. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, Kip Watson, and Von England. They are both licensed professional counselors, and Von is working on his PhD research that focuses on couple relationships, men and groups. And Kip is also a former professional athlete and a certified high-performance coach. And we were talking earlier about the pros and cons of being alone. I think that Kip said it also eloquently at the end of the segment about, you know, you can't take it with you.
Right.
And that relationships have more value than money. And so why is it, Vaughn, that money and marriage, that is the number one reason that people end up divorced. They fight about the money. What the heck is up with that?
Well, you know, there are seven principles that I want to go through. I'm probably not going to get through all of them, but the number one principle is that it's really not about the money, but it's about the meaning of money. Because, well, I'm start with this big word, existential, but money means different things to different people. For instance, men keep money as a scorecard a lot of times, or we may look at it like this means power, or this means control, or this means that I'm successful, this is masculinity, this is manhood. It could mean that I'm a good provider for my family, but to a woman, a lot of times money means safety, security. It could mean family time as well. It could mean a new purse or a new car, but it means different things to different people. So when I have couples that come into my office, we have to talk about what does money mean, because you get the meaning of money differently based on where you're from, how you're raised, the socialization aspect of society. And so money means different things to different people. And money, a lot of times, takes on the characteristic of whoever holds it in their hand, because money really is amoral. It's just a piece of paper. And so kind of like a brick. If a brick doesn't have morals, I can take a brick and I can, you know, throw it through someone's window, or I can take it and build a church or build a hospital or build a school. So money is really not about money. It's about the underlying meaning of money. So that's tip number one in terms of being a principal. So.
Well, and it seems like the one who holds the purse strings is the one that controls the marriage.
Yeah. A lot of ways. Well,
because women, I have to say, you know, it's the typical, usually it's the man that's the breadwinner, the woman. If you have a family, you're going to have babies. She's going to stay home. She's going to raise the babies, at least for a while. And it's so undervalued in our society, especially here in America. It's not like that in other cultures. It really, really isn't. And I just don't understand it because, you know, raising a child is probably the most important thing you'll ever do in your life.
Amen.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. And money, I'll say it like this. Money a lot of times boils down to trust, because trust is the emotional fabric of a relationship. And whenever you can't trust your partner, it's like that person becomes undependable. And whenever, let's say I'm doing premarital counseling with a couple, that couple needs to be honest and transparent when it comes to their dealings with money. And so, to be honest, there needs to be no double life. There can't be a deception. Like, you guys need to actually pull each other's credit report before you get married.
Isn't that a shame that you really have to do that?
Yeah,
though?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times people, they can be really deceptive because, and sometimes you can be in denial too, because you have somebody that, you know, I really don't want to know how bad the damage is.
Right.
You know, because I've been spending and I'm in, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And so, you're going to have to be willing to let your partner hold you accountable and then come together as a team, build an alliance together. And so principle number two is that money a lot of times is rooted in trust, or the spending of that money is rooted in trust. The third principle I kind of want to talk about is that money, you have to learn to respect each other's money skills. A lot of people don't know this, but my undergrad is in business finance. And so when I got married, I thought I knew everything there is to know about money, because, you know, I know what a 401k is. I know what an IRA is. I know what it means to, you know, diversify my portfolio. I'm going to study for my Series 7, so on and so forth. Now, my wife, because she didn't have this head knowledge, I didn't respect her money skills, but she had much more discipline. Although I had the head knowledge, I didn't have the discipline. I lacked impulsivity control.
Interesting. Yes.
So we had to come together, and I had to learn.
You had a spending issue.
Yeah, I did have a spending issue on a fixed income. You know, can you believe that? So,
And when you don't let the other person control any of the other money, how are they going to get good at handling it when they never get to touch it?
You're right. You're right. You're exactly right. Money. You have to learn about money, because one of the other principles that I have is that you have to support each other through ups and downs. And there was one point that I invested like $10,000 in like this cash flow business thing that I saw on television. And because it was a learning process, although I had a degree in finance, it was a horrible money management decision. And my wife supported me through that. We recouped a lot of the money. However, you're going to have to support each other through ups and downs, and then learn how to respect each other's money skills. So she was able to helped me strategically, and I was able to help her with some tactical issues in terms of money, because we just look at money differently. I look at the overall big picture, and she's looking at some of the day-to-day expenses and month-to-month things that we're doing. So,
let's get back to some of those principles. What are some more principles?
Okay, well, another principle is that you need to talk openly and honestly about your goals and your dreams, because if you guys have different dreams about what you want to do with money, you're going to have some conflict. If one person wants to be a stay-at-home mom, nothing against stay-at-home moms, but if their husband wants them to work, that's probably going to create some conflict, because they have different values and different goals and different dreams of what they want to do with money.
Well, and some people just get completely out of control. I have a friend where her husband was buying Ferraris and then complaining if she bought organic milk. That's a true story.
Well, you know, I mean,
it can be so crazy.
Yeah, he was using money as a domineering like tactic. And again, they take on the characteristic of whoever holds it in their hand. So you can have someone who's rich and that can be really benevolent and giving, but they can also be a jerk. And then you have someone who's poor who would give you their last meal and share that with you, but then they can also be stingy and they're miser as well. So again, it takes on the characteristic of whoever has it in their hand. So if that guy was doing that, he was probably domineering and controlling, and then used money as the tool to do that.
Oh, yeah. For control.
Right.
Absolutely. And so, you know, they say that if you're greedy when you're poor, you're going to be greedy when you're rich. And if you're generous when you're poor, you're just going to be more generous when you're rich.
Yeah, you see these NFL players, you know, like they didn't have access to do certain things until they got money. And then whenever they had money, if I always wanted to sleep with five women at the same time, but I never had the access to do it, now all of a sudden I'm a millionaire, I can go do that now.
Well, so, gold diggers.
Yeah. So
that's how we open the show.
You got it. And so a couple other principles. I want to go through. So yes, there's a learning process. Yes, you have to support each other through ups and downs. Yes, you have to share your goals and dreams, and you have to build trust and learn to respect each other's skills. But you have to budget together, because budgeting together holds each other accountable. You need to know your partner's spending habits, because whenever you know those things, then you can build your value system and your goals based on that budget. You need to be doing that probably on at least a monthly basis, perhaps. So
yeah, no, it's so true. I'm one that I'll work hard and I play hard, and I like to make money and I like to spend money too, you know. I've always been that way. My father used to say that money, or my mother actually used to say it, that money's just burning a hole in your pocket, isn't it? And it does. But I was willing to do whatever it took to earn it. So it's not like, and I thought, well, you know, not like
it.
Not
I
like easy come easy
it,
go, right. But you know, and I kind of had, even as a child, had a tendency to like live in the present moment, and so I always gravitated towards men that were better with money than me, because I knew that that was like one of my downfalls.
So you were able to balance that part of your personality out with someone who tends to be a little bit more, I want to say slow, but just strategic, I guess you could say. You
That's know, a nice word.
Money management skills.
More controlling.
Conservative. You know?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
frugal. Maybe is the,
frugal.
Is the, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So if you tend to be
That's
in the moment.
That's a nice way to say control.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, so what about, should you really, and I know this is obviously a question, as you get older, you really do need to start to plan for that now, don't you?
Yeah, you do, because here's the thing, is that whenever you plan, in fact, one smart person said one time that people don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. And so whenever you take the time to do a will and to take care of your spouse in the long term, because you're going to get old, chances are one of you guys is going to end up taking care of the other person, that whenever you do a will and you get all those things in order, you're really telling that person, hey, you know what? I love you. I don't want you to be destitute, and I don't want you to be broke after I'm long gone. And so doing a will and different things are important. Again, I'm not a financial planner, but doing some long-term care, getting some disability insurance, all those kind of things. Like, you can talk to a financial planner about that kind of stuff, but you need to learn how to plan now, because, I mean, time is one thing that's inevitable. You're going to get old. You're going to not be as beautiful as you used to be. Mm-hmm. And so you have to do those things in order to say I love you to your spouse.
Well, and I think that, I, at least for me personally, these are a couple of rules that I've kind of live by, is live within your means, mm-hmm. and then save. Always save a little bit. Doesn't have to be a lot, but it adds up over time. Even if it, you know, I can remember saving $10 a week, you know, back when I was a waitress, you know, 30 years ago. And, you know, and it doesn't take that long for it to start building. And then, of course, the compounded interest, which you don't get that anymore. There's no real interest anymore.
But
live within your means. And, but it's important to find someone like-minded.
Right. Because, again, you have to go through and talk about your shared dreams and goals. Some of the things that I do whenever I talk to my couples, especially if I'm going through premarital counseling, we're going to ask questions such as, how much money is enough for you to have a child? Or how much money do you want to have to retire? Or what are your boundaries on job requirements? How do you feel if one of our careers take off and then the other person's does not take off? What do you think about prenuptial agreements? Because, you know, statistically, the majority of people are getting divorced. So, you know, that might be. There you go.
There we go back to the gold diggers. Oh, my gosh.
I love it. All right,
Danny, you're killing me. Vaughn, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you and Kip in studio. I hope everyone out there listening enjoyed it. I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, because they bring this programming to you. They are fine companies that are like-minded and want to bring good content to you. Crazy Water, great company. Had my Crazy Water this morning. Excellent. You know, it's so essential to drink good quality water. And, you know, Sun Warrior, another great company. Fine company, Raw. Well, you're the one that told me about it. I forgot about that. Vaughn England is the one that turned me on to Sun Warrior.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got Charlotte's Web, CW Hemp. Find the finest hemp extract that you can possibly find in the world. It's an amazing company. And the ISSN, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Squatty Potty, because proper elimination is important. Crucial. It's crucial. It's crucial, so, yeah. You guys. So get yourself a Squatty Potty, because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.